too aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Hello and welcome to The Aware Show. I am Lisa Garr, and it's such a joy to be here with you today. Thank you so much for sharing this hour with me, inspiration and motivation and information that we're doing here on The Aware Show. As always, I want to mention that there's a wonderful community giving back that's happening to the people that are affected by the burn areas. There is a facility called the Hyperbaric Center for Advanced Healing, and they are offering, it's in Woodland Hills on Ventura Boulevard, right near the bowling alley right there. They're offering hyperbaric oxygen therapy, which is a wonderful way to enhance the body's healing process by inhaling 100% oxygen so that the body can really start to heal, get rid of some of the debris in the lungs that are very small, microscopic. It is free for all first responders, firefighters, law enforcement, emergency medical service, and it's also 50% off to residents who were affected by the fires. So if anyone wants to go, there is a medical doctor there. You can go through this medical clearance, so it's perfectly safe. They give oxygen to people in hospitals when they are healing to accelerate their healing and trauma and so forth. So it's a really wonderful thing. There's also a phone number to call, 818-629-8988, or you can go to, I see it online, at Hyperbaric Center for Advanced Healing in Woodland Hills. So check that out. It's a wonderful way to give back. There's so many wonderful things that are being offered by community members to burn victims, people have lost homes, and our incredible first responders, and the neighbors who also saved houses. So thank you all. You're incredible. So here's our conversation for today. We're going to talk about how to bond with ourselves. Inner bonding is something that it's an interesting topic, because if you are not bonded with yourself, you start to feel feelings of unworthiness and inadequacy, and anxiety or depression is also related to that, not feeling that inner bond. Maybe relationships are struggling and failing, and they always have, and you turn to alcohol or drugs or any other addictions to help manage those feelings of inadequacy. Even going the opposite way of fame or approval of others and so forth to help you feel safe is a lack of bonding with yourself. Joining me is Dr. Margaret Paul. She's a psychologist, relationship expert, and she has created this she's actually, you know, been on TV shows, Oprah and so forth, because she created a wonderful program over 30 years called the Inner Bonding Six-Step Healing Process. And it is something that you can do on your own. You can do with individuals, couples, seminars. There's all sorts of amazing ways to learn how to, really at the core of all of these issues is our ability to bond with ourselves. Welcome, Dr. Margaret Paul. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, me too. I think that this is something that we can address in a way that people don't, they ignore, they want to shove down these feelings of inadequacy and unworthiness, and then they get triggered, and this happens to me as well. I get triggered, and it all flares back up again. What is that about? What is inner bonding?
Well, inner bonding is a six-step process that teaches people step-by-step how to love themselves, how to discover the various ways that they're abandoning themselves, because most people have no idea that they're actually responsible for their own feelings. You know, if you think about most of our parents, they didn't role model taking responsibility for their own feelings. Mine certainly didn't.
Right, right.
You know, my mother would rage, my father would withdraw, mm-hmm. You know, he would overwork. They role model, many people's parents, you know, they come home, they sit in front of the TV, they drink beer. They don't role model what it looks like to actually take care of your own feelings. And if you think about having a child and the child comes to you upset, and if you were to just ignore the child or judge the child or just hand the child a cookie or try and get somebody else to take care of the child, that child's going to feel rejected and abandoned. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we do on the inner level. We do those same things. We ignore our feelings, we numb out with addictions, we judge ourselves, mm-hmm. and we look for other people to make us feel lovable and worthy. And for so many of us, we just absorbed our parents' sense of unworthiness, and we absorbed how they treated themselves, how they treated us. And so most of us have this voice, this wounded ego voice that says, you know, what's the matter with you? You're not good enough. You're never going to make it. You're going to end up on the streets. You'll always be a failure. You shouldn't have said that. You'll never be adequate. It goes on and on. And you know, if you were to treat an actual child that way, it would be child abuse, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, but we do that to ourselves.
Yes, mm-hmm. We do it to ourselves. So, of course, we then feel inadequate. We feel anxious. We feel depressed. And what happens in our relationships when we're abandoning ourselves in these ways is that then we make our partner responsible for our feelings of safety, of worth. And since we're attracted at our common level of woundedness, they're doing the same thing. And that's what creates so many relationship problems.
We are so hard on ourselves. I think we're the hardest on ourselves, but we don't come out of the womb that way, though, Margaret. Where does it start? You said parents, but it continues and continues. I don't even think these parents these days know how hard we are on our children. I don't think much has changed.
Well, that's right. I mean, we put so much pressure on our children to perform, and people start to identify their sense of worth with their performance. You know, well, if they get an A and if somebody approves them, then they're okay. But if they don't, then they're stupid. They're not good enough. And that's very, very sad. And one of the places that it actually does start is that, one of the things that I teach people is how to see who they really are inside. We all have this incredibly beautiful, wonderful soul essence within us that, I mean, it's amazing. And we come into life expecting that we're going to be seen and loved for who we are. Mm. But when our parents didn't know how to see their own beautiful essence, they couldn't see ours, nor could our teachers, nor could our peers. And so what happened is that we got projected on. Like my mother used to project all of her sense of inadequacy onto me. If she was cold, I had to be cold. If she was scared, I had to be scared. It's just a projection that parents do. And there was no way that my parents, not seeing themselves, could see me. And it took me years to understand how to see who I really am. And most people, they don't know that. And so they think that they're the projection that their parents put on them and that others put on them, that the media put on them. And they don't realize who they really are.
How do you see this showing up in life when it's not addressed?
Well, people get anxious, they get depressed, they feel guilty, they feel shame, they feel angry, they feel alone, they feel empty. They can't produce what they want. They don't know what their passion and purpose is. Their relationships are failing. All of these reasons that people come into working with me are the results of not knowing who they are and continuing to abandon themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's also something that you can, you know, we hear over and over again, well, you've got to learn to love yourself before you can love anyone else. But nobody ever gives us a manual for that.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, what does that mean? How do you do it? Mm-hmm. So inner bonding actually is a roadmap for that. When people learn it and practice it, they develop what we call the loving adult self. The loving adult self is a part of us that exists in the higher part of the brain, but it hasn't been developed in most people. And just like if you want to develop muscles, you work out with weights. Well, if you want to develop a loving adult, you practice inner bonding because it develops this higher loving adult self. You know, our brains are, they have neuroplasticity. They change fairly easily. And we can develop new neural pathways for being loving with ourselves and loving with others as we practice. Anything that we focus on, anything that we practice over time, develops those new neural pathways. And so inner bonding actually takes the guesswork out of what it means to love yourself. Hmm. And if you like, I can
nice.
Go through the process.
Very nice. I love that. Yes, and there's also an at-home course, which is really cool. But let's talk about the process. And as you said, it's practice. Anything that you do over and over again can, I was always told, practice makes permanent. So
right.
If you take a simple step process and you do it over and over again, it's not about the complexity of the process. It's about the simplicity of it.
Mm-hmm.
And doing it over and over again can get you into that place of immediate self-love so that you can make different choices and decisions. So
right.
Let's go through the process.
Okay. So the first step is that instead of staying up in your head, which we all learned to do when we were young, we had to because we had a lot of big painful feelings that we couldn't manage. So we had to disconnect from our body, dissociate from our body, which is where our feelings are. And so most people, when they start working with me, they're in their head. And that's where I was when I started to do inner bonding. So the first step is to practice getting focused inside your body. And what I ask people to do is to, like, set an alarm on their phone or wear a rubber band or put sticky notes around, because I had a really hard time remembering to focus in my body. I could focus on other people's feelings, but I had no idea what I felt because I wasn't in my body. And so step one is mindful breathing. You're using your breath to take you inside your body and get present with any physical sensations, because emotions generally show up as physical sensations in the body. So if you breathe in, you might find there's some tension somewhere, or there's a feeling of emptiness. Maybe you feel tightness or anger somewhere. So what you want to do is practice getting present in your body and just sitting with the feeling for a few minutes, just being with it. Just that alone is going to make people feel better. Because if you think about your feeling self as an inner child, and that child is feeling anxious or angry or depressed, and you're completely ignoring it. You're up in your head, you're eating too much, you're drinking too much, you're judging yourself, then that inner child is getting abandoned. And so if we imagine going inside and just being with the feelings with kindness, just that alone is very loving to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's the opposite of avoiding our feelings.
Yes, being in the body is always the first step to
right.
anything. And in that place of feeling unworthy and inadequate, you're usually outside yourself.
Right.
And if you can connect to your body, even just a heartbeat of your body, it starts to calm down that stress response
right.
and the anxiety. And you can just get it. I've seen it heal so many things by just putting, you know, your hand on your heart and
right.
starting to become aware of your body. I think that's a wonderful first step. That's a great first step.
Right. And hands on your heart, I'm sure you know, stimulates oxytocin. So when we put our hands on our heart, we're actually stimulating the feel-good hormone.
Nice.
So that's
okay.
also going to help, yeah. So then part of step one is making a conscious decision that you want responsibility for your feelings. What most people do is, yeah, I'm feeling anxious because so-and-so yelled at me, or I'm feeling anxious because I made a fool of myself, you know, at a party or whatever. They think it's outside of themselves, and they don't realize that it's because of how they treat themselves. And so in step one, we get present with the feelings, and then we say, okay, I want responsibility for learning what these feelings are telling me, because all of our feelings have information for us. And there's, let me just say, there's two kinds of feelings. There's the painful feelings that we cause with our self-abandonment. This is anxiety, depression, guilt, shame, anger, aloneness, emptiness, jealousy, feelings like that. We cause when we don't take care of ourselves, when we don't love ourselves. And then there's the painful feelings of life, like somebody you love dies, or you lose a great job, or somebody's yelling at you and being really mean to you. And these feelings we don't cause, the feelings of loneliness when there's nobody to connect to, the feelings of grief over loss, the feelings of heartbreak when people are hurting us or hurting each other or hurting others, and the feeling of helplessness over people being mean and being unloving and being hurtful. These are really hard feelings. And in fact, these are the feelings that we most had to learn to avoid when we were younger. And these are the feelings that all of our addictions are meant to cover over and avoid. Now, even though we don't cause these feelings, we're still responsible for lovingly managing them.
That's a great point. That takes responsibility into play.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's right. Rather than blaming others or being a victim, mm-hmm. we still need to take responsibility for learning to be very loving and compassionate with ourselves so that these feelings can get released. Because if we don't lovingly manage them, mm-hmm. they get stuck inside our body.
Well,
and
yeah.
they cause illness.
And yes, and then you get easily triggered too.
That's right.
Yes, things happen to people. Yes, there are, you know, tough childhoods. And I get it. Nobody gave our parents the rule book, and we are, you know, trying to learn ourselves. So in the fact that we're recreating stories over and over and over and over again for 30, 40 years, at some point we have to take responsibility to stop the story.
Yes, and that's what we decide.
Honor the story, but don't stop it. Yeah, mm-hmm. At some point, yeah.
Right.
To hold on to that much anger, it just winds up hurting yourself.
Right.
There's a place for it, and there's an honoring for it, and there's a learning, but the learning part is the biggest piece. You don't have to deny it.
Well, that's what's so important, and I'm glad you brought that up, because every one of our feelings have important information for us. These, what I call the wounded feelings, the ones we cause, are telling us that we're abandoning ourselves. And these deeper existential feelings of life are telling us that we have to pay attention to what's happening with another person or a situation. There's information in all of our feelings. Mm. And it's so unfortunate that in our society, people want to numb out their feelings with food or alcohol or drugs or whatever. They want to numb them out because they haven't learned to manage them with love and with compassion. And so they're missing this incredible information that their feelings have for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, I noticed that if people want to call in for the show, definitely give us a call, because Margaret's available to speak with you during the show and so forth, as if any of this is making sense to you. But there's so much to be said here. So this is how we're talking about an inner bonding process, which is a six-step self-healing process. But it really teaches us to go into ourselves and be responsible for our own healing. A lot of these, you know, it's on Margaret Paul's website and so forth. But if you take these six steps and really integrate them into a daily practice, you could start to learn how to do this yourself, which is what we always like to do in the Aware Show, is really empower you to do these easy, simple techniques that you can take on yourself all the time, every day. So one is the willingness to feel and take responsibility for your feelings. The second is to move into the intent to learn from whatever might have happened.
Right. And in inner bonding, there's only two intentions. Either your intention is to protect against your pain, against responsibility, with various forms of self-abandoning and controlling behavior. And the other is, like you said, to open to learning about how we're treating ourselves, what we're telling ourselves, what our false beliefs are, and what would be loving to ourselves. So it's not like learning the lottery numbers. It's learning about ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And so in step two, we make a decision. Yes, I do want to learn. And we open to a higher source of love and truth. And people think that this is such a hard thing to do, but it's really not so hard, because when we're really open to learning, when we really want to learn, we raise our frequency high enough that we can access this information, whatever, however people think it's coming to them is not so important. But, you know, the universe is filled with intelligence, and when we're open to learning, we can access that. And especially when we learn to keep our bodies clean with good, healthy, fresh food, it keeps the frequency of our body high, so that then we can easily access that higher wisdom. That's what I've talked about in my new book, Diet for Divine Connection, Beyond Junk Food and Junk Thoughts to At-Will Divine Connection. And without this connection, it's very hard to heal. It's one of the reasons that I moved out of doing traditional psychotherapy and into inner bonding, because I realized you cannot heal without access to a spiritual source.
So not just self, just talking with someone in traditional talk therapy,
right,
and having someone deeply listen, you actually have to take it to another step and connect with a higher being. Is that what you're saying?
It's whatever it is, whether you see it as a being or an energy or just a force or a light, or doesn't matter what it is, it's there. Mm-hmm. And people can easily learn to access it. They don't think they can, but they really can. And when I work with people, they're amazed at how easily they get to access that higher source of love. And so because we don't manufacture love and compassion within ourselves, we need to open to it and invite it in. So in step two, we open to learning, we invite love and compassion into our heart, and that's what creates the loving adult self.
Hmm. You know, sometimes I feel, and I'm a big, you know, proponent of guidance and prayer and relying on my guides for so much, and sometimes I wonder if I use it as a crutch for action. You know, if I just think, okay, well, I'm going to, just put this up to trust and know that it's all going to work out. But it might be a way of an escape where I really don't know what to do. Have you seen that?
It can be, and it's called a spiritual bypass,
where
you're just going up to spirit and saying, oh, I'll just leave it up to spirit. But
it works a lot, by the way.
Yeah, sometimes it does.
It does.
But you know, we're the hands. We're the, like Mother Teresa said, we're God's pencil. We have to take action for ourselves. We can't just, let it go and not take action. Mm-hmm. And this is very much about learning what is loving action, learning how to take loving action for ourselves. You know, it's just like, let's say a child comes to you and says, I'm hungry. And you smile and you say, well, honey, thank you for sharing. But you don't feed the child.
Right. Yeah, there's got to be an action step. So that's the take loving action. So
right.
Did we go through the dialogue with your wounded self and core self?
No, so that's step three. Step three is then as that loving adult, we go in and we ask, what am I doing? What am I telling you? How am I treating you that's causing these painful feelings? We go in, we let the feelings speak to us, and then let's say we hear, well, you're putting too much pressure on me, you're judging me a lot, you're telling me I'm not good enough. Then we go deeper into that wounded part of ourselves, that ego wounded part. That's where the false beliefs are.
You do this all by yourself?
Yes, I do it by myself, but I do facilitate people all the time in this. I mean, that is what I do. But yes, I do it by myself now. I've been doing it a long time.
You've just trained yourself to be able to do this. And so you sense when you ask yourself, to you uncover false beliefs? Do they show up? Do you ask yourself leading questions? What do you ask yourself?
Well, see, let's say the inner child is saying, you're judging me and putting a lot of pressure on me. Okay, so then I would go inside a little deeper and say to that place within that has the false beliefs, which is actually in the lower part of our brain called the amygdala, and say, there must be a good reason that you're judging us and you're putting a lot of pressure on us. What's that about? And the answer might be, well, if only we do things right, and if only we do things perfectly, then we'll get approval, and then we'll be okay. Or the only way I'm going to get you off the couch and get you to be productive is to pressure you and judge you. These are the kinds of false beliefs we're going to uncover.
Hmm. Yes, it's like when you hit a certain age, the filter leaves.
Right.
Yeah, it starts to come out, which is, I think, just years and years of being so tired of not saying anything.
Right.
Yeah, so it is possible to start to uncover these feelings and to address and dialogue with them, self-dialogue.
Oh, yes. It's so rewarding, and it's so, people feel like they get lighter and lighter as they start to see how they're treating themselves that's causing all their pain.
Just listening. Just listening is so great to that inner, gosh, isn't there, who was the person, the psychologist who was so famous for this? Was it Jonathan Bradshaw and the Bradshaw technique?
Well, yes, John Bradshaw did inner child work, but he didn't have the spiritual connection part of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
and that's step four. So in step four, once we understand how we're treating ourselves, once we understand some of the beliefs that we're operating from, then we open again to our higher self, our higher guidance, and we ask two questions. What is the truth about any of these false beliefs? And what is loving to myself? So let's say I've uncovered the belief that I have to pressure myself and judge myself to get myself to perform. Otherwise, I'll sit on the couch. And my guidance might say to me, you know what? You've been doing well in spite of this. But who you are inside is highly motivated to go and do and express. And you would do so much better if you took the judgment and the pressure off of you. And that's exactly what my guidance said to me at some point.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So you're really in tune with listening to that inner guidance.
Right.
Okay.
And then you ask, well, what would be loving to myself?
Okay.
And it can be any of hundreds of things that we might do.
Some loving action, right?
Some loving action.
Okay. So let's put all this into an example. So say there is a, you know, you have been let go of a job and you feel inadequate and you feel like fear and shock and what are you going to do? And you have all these things. Is this applicable where you take?
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it can light up things around your feelings. You can then move into the intent to learn. So first of all, the first step is to feel and take a responsibility for the feeling and get present in your body. Try to get rid of the shock and just get present.
Yes, and you're probably going to feel scared and maybe hopeless and, oh my God, what's going to happen to me?
Get far ahead of yourself. Okay, and then the next step would be?
Then, move into the intention to learn and bring in that love and then ask that scared part, what am I telling you? And the scared part might say, well, you're telling me that I got fired because I'm inadequate, I'm not good enough, I'll never find another job, I'm going to be homeless, on and on. I mean, there's all kinds of things we might be telling ourselves that are causing the problem, especially that it's our fault we're inadequate that this happened. And one of the things that's so important for people to understand is that this wounded part of us would rather think that things are our fault than feel the pain, just the core pain and the uncertainty of life. People want to feel certain and they want control.
Or
and we tell ourselves that it's our fault. It gives us a sense of control.
Or maybe if you're being victimized, so like the company decided to move in a different direction and things like that, or they made different choices, that you're being a victim of somebody else's decisions.
Right. But, you know, if you, and sometimes we are, and we're helpless over that. We need to be very compassionate with that. But that doesn't mean that we're inadequate. That doesn't mean it's our fault.
Doesn't mean that we can't change it, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that we might not find something even better.
Right. It happens to us all the time. We go through these incredible journeys of crises or healing crisis or whatever it is, and you come out on the other end of it, and you're just so grateful that you made it out. And you figured it out, or something happened, and you found resilience, and you learned and turned everything around. Then the next time the crisis hits, you completely forget that you did that. I know. It happens to me a lot, too.
Yeah.
It's so shocking, and I think shock kind of takes us out of our wisdom. Okay, then, so we find that out. We move into what do we learn, have a dialogue with ourselves around what we might be feeling and all those. Just get them out. Get them heard by yourself.
Right.
And then connect with a higher guidance, with your higher self, with the God of your heart, with whatever makes sense to you, and really go into a place of prayer or intention or reverence about it.
Right, and we ask questions like, is it my fault because I'm inadequate? And the guidance is going to say, of course not.
Right.
It has nothing to do with you. It's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're going to say, am I going to be destitute? Am I going to never find another job? And guidance will say, we're here for you. And you figure out what you want, and we're going to support that.
Yeah. Now, that's great. Okay, so now you have tried this. And then the last one, after your loving action, then you evaluate what your loving action is, right?
Right. You go back in and see, how do I feel as a result of taking a loving action for myself?
Okay. All right. So in these experiences, can you tell us how you work with people around this, or how people can really learn to do this themselves? You even teach people how to be facilitators of this work, which is really cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
So on our website, we have a free 7-day course. Anybody can take it. Just come onto the site, download the free course. They're going to learn the backbone of the inner bonding process. And some people have just gone with it just from the free course. There's lots and lots of articles. There's many, many ways to learn. Right now, I'm teaching a course called Love Yourself Online. It's a 30-day course where people get it in little bites. And that's a great way to learn it. We have an online program called SelfQuest. That's a great way to learn it. And so, or people can work with facilitators. We have a community, an online community where they can join at different levels, and they get free sessions with facilitators and training. And we have a fantastic facilitator training program.
Okay,
our
great.
Facilitators are so incredibly well trained.
Wonderful. All right. Well, we have callers who are asking about how to work with this. That's Ayman. Ayman in Los Angeles. Hi, Ayman. Do you have a question for my guest, Dr. Margaret Paul?
Hi, Dr. Margaret. Hi, Lina. Thank you for taking my call. I just don't know what to do with myself.
Yourself.
You know, what people look at me and how I see myself or how I feel inside myself is total opposites. Everybody thinks that I am strong, that I can do so much, that I can be so much, and and so on, and I don't feel this way about myself.
Okay, so can I just do a little bit of work with you? Are you willing for me to do a little bit of work with you about that right now?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so I want you to just take a couple of deep breaths and breathe into that part of you that doesn't feel like you're all the things that people think you are. Just breathe into that part. Where do you feel that inside your body?
I do.
Pardon?
Where?
Yeah, where inside your body do you feel that?
In my head.
In your head. So what does that feel like in your head?
Like pulsing. It's like a pulse. You know,
okay.
Like,
so I want you to just breathe into that and get present with it. And see if you can tune into what you might be telling yourself. Move into your heart, open to learning. I'm rushing a little bit because we don't have time for a whole session, but open to learning and ask that part in your head. What are you telling yourself that's making you feel like you're not adequate enough?
I always feel that I am not satisfied enough with what
I
do.
That you're not what, honey? I didn't hear what you said.
Not satisfied enough of my accomplishments, mm-hmm. or I can do better, or I can do more. Mm-hmm. And
okay, so how old do you think that inner part of you is who says, you've never done enough, you've got to do more, we can't be satisfied?
I think most of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Most of your life. So this started when you were young, right?
Yes.
And is that voice like either of your parents or other caregivers?
No. My parents, my father died when I was very young, and my mother always really loved me, and she's very special, very, very special, you know. Mm-hmm. I can compare her to Buddha or to Jesus, you know, so...
Do you think that your mother pushed herself in the way that you're pushing yourself?
No, not really. I think it's me. It's like I'm turning 63, and I don't feel like I did enough for my future, you know. Like when I was younger, I was making money. I was working. I was very popular, and money was made so easily but also spent extremely easily. I never thought of older age or...
Okay, honey, let me
life
let me stop
relationship,
you
let's say, you know.
Mm-hmm. Let me stop you because I'd like to just do a little bit more work with you. Okay? I'd like you just to imagine that part of you that's feeling inadequate. And do you have any kind of connection to God or spirit or a higher being of any kind?
Absolutely, yes, absolutely.
Okay,
I do my meditation and my
prayers. Is it Jesus for you?
And I feel good afterwards, but, and I
okay,
ask
but,
God.
Wait, honey. Let me continue to just do a little work with you.
Yes.
I want you to just imagine that Jesus is here with you right now.
Okay?
I want you to imagine that he can look into you, and he can see who you are in your soul. Not who you are when you're trying to accomplish everything, but what kind of person are you in your soul?
Yes.
And what does he see?
He sees my intention and my good heart.
Mm-hmm.
Your good heart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, honey.
And,
you work
for the world and before
start,
even myself. But
okay. If you were to start to value yourself by your good heart rather than by how much money you make, you would start to feel that satisfaction.
I really don't think only of how much money I make, but like in terms of relationship, I have a niece that just doesn't talk to me for no reason, and she doesn't want to explain to me why. I gave her a wedding gift, she returned the gift, and she would never explain to me why.
Let's keep it inside right now.
Okay.
Because I can't go into a whole deep session about what's happening with her. But if you were to really value your beautiful heart.
Yes.
Rather than whether somebody else is rejecting you or whether you've done enough, rather than something external to you, if you were to really value your beautiful heart, how do you think you would feel?
Much better.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right, honey. So that's what I want you to start to practice. I want you to start to practice valuing yourself by your heart, not by how somebody else treats you, not by what you've accomplished, but by who you are inside, because that's the real you.
You do have a beautiful heart, someone that wants to give and to have this, your heart shine through. And if we all could live like that, I thank you so much for your phone call.
Thank you,
Iman.
Very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
Lisa, to live from our hearts, to live from our hearts, doesn't matter what anyone else thinks about us or how perfect we need to be or who we need to please or what we need to do.
Right.
Do you think that the world will see that, or is it up to us to have the world see that?
Well, you see,
in
I mean,
it's up
to
us, of course,
of
but when you're...
It's up to each of us to learn to love ourselves enough so that we can share our beautiful hearts with each other. It's not going to happen on a mass basis.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen for each of us. And when enough of us are really valuing who we are internally, our heart, our soul, our passion, our aliveness, our caring, our sweetness, our creativity, our generosity, all of these wonderful qualities that most of us have, if we were to value those and start to share those, then other people would start to do it too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, as we, even, you know, when we're going about our lives, and our lives get busy and there's a lot to do and there's errands and there's all sorts of obligations and commitments and requirements, if we could go through those rather than them being a burden to us and have them as an opportunity for us to show our hearts and to really truly be available for the love that we truly are, it could make our days so much more fulfilling. No matter what your accomplishments are in life, it doesn't really even matter. Yeah.
Well, that's right, and that is what it does. It changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
When we learn to define ourselves intrinsically by who we are, like when a baby is born, you value the baby just because he or she is. You don't say, oh, well, they have to, you know, grow up and make money and look a certain way and get married and have kids and blah, blah, blah for me to value them. You value that baby just for who they are, just because they exist. We need to learn to do that for ourselves.
Hmm. Yeah. And if we don't, then the world will see the rejected self that we feel that we are. If we do, if we learn to value ourselves, it is amazing that energy that you put off, that we've, you know, there's a lot of science behind it, but the energy, the physical energy that you put off, and it attracts new bright things into your life. I don't mean stuff. I mean your desires, your intentions, your, you know, influence, whatever it is that you are. You know that when you find somebody who feels like they're warm and loving and magnetic, you just want to be around them more. And you have absolute control over that in your own body, in your own life, in your own self. It makes a lot of sense.
Right, and you know what I said before about we attract at our common level of woundedness, we also attract at our common level of health, which is our common level of self-love. And so the more we are learning to love ourselves, truly see ourselves, truly value who we are, the more we attract those people into our life, like you were saying. They're just drawn to that loving energy. And, of course, if you want to be in a loving relationship, you want to draw in somebody who's loving themselves, not somebody who's abandoning themselves. So you got to be loving yourself in order to draw that in.
We attract our common level of woundedness. That one flew by me. And that is a good one. And that's why that explains why we'd be to attract the wrong partner or the wrong job or the wrong person at the wrong job. Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so the more we're abandoning ourselves, the more we're going to attract somebody who's also abandoning themselves.
And going
that
to
relationship
abandon.
Does not go well. Mm-hmm. But the more we love ourselves, the more we attract somebody who's also loving themselves. And when we learn to love ourselves, when we learn to bring love inside, we get filled up with love, and then we want to share it. This is not about ending up alone. This is about being able to share love. And people have a huge confusion between getting love and sharing love.
Hmm. Can we talk about that for a second? Getting love.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when we're abandoning ourselves, then we are needy of love. We need somebody else to love us because we're not loving ourselves. And then we go into all kinds of controlling behavior. We get mad. We give ourselves up. We do all sorts of things where we're overly nice. We do all sorts of things to try and get love. But because we're abandoning ourselves, even if somebody loves us, it doesn't actually do it for us. But once we learn to love ourselves and we learn to connect to that higher source of love and we learn to bring that love inside, we get all filled up with love, with peace, with joy, and we want to share that.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yes.
We're social beings.
Yes, yes.
And the sharing of love is the greatest experience in life, truly.
I think we need that so much right now on a global scale.
Right.
It's so interesting because we're in this time of the technical age where we can really be tight-knit as communities, but at the same time, that technology separates us and allows us to be distant.
Right.
There's two ways to approach it. You can really bring your heart through in a lot of the community efforts that are happening, you know, post-burn victims in the fire areas here and all sorts of, there's so many different community events that are happening that can bring your heart forward. When, no matter what, we saw it happen with 9/11 in New York. We saw it happen everywhere where you can really see, you know, even Vegas, you know, together stronger, Vegas strong. You see it happening everywhere, and it's the heart coming through a community, and it's healing, and it's bonding, and it's, if you look at it on a global scale, you could see it. You could palpatively see it, where the heart starts to connect with other hearts, and healing starts to begin.
That's right, and you know, our planet has been polarizing for a while, where the dark is getting darker and the light is getting lighter.
Yes. I'm not laughing. I'm simply, yeah. I easily could get frustrated and disgusted with it as well, but I have to stay in a place of compassion. Sometimes it is just not easy when it's like the abuse keeps happening. Ridiculous charades keep happening.
Right, but you know, it's about the darkness rising to the surface so that it can be seen. As long as it's underground, it goes on operating.
True. That's actually a great point.
Yeah. But it needs to be seen, and it's getting seen.
So it is getting seen, but what do we do about it?
Oh, well, I mean, that's where the light comes in. That's where, you know, those of us that are stepping up to the plate, those of us that are, you know, getting active, and, I mean, it's happening. Where more and more people, like you said, more and more people are coming from their heart.
Yes, I'm asking you to solve the world's problems right now. I'm sorry. What we're talking...
I'd be happy to do it.
Well, it starts with yourself, and
right.
It's a perfect example. I mean, it's easy to go into that conversation of what's happening with our divisiveness and polarized America and the way that it's even, you know, seen through the rest of the world. We have to start with... how we do one thing is how we do everything. If we learn to have that inner flame, that inner bonding, that inner love, then we can start to come up with solutions in every area.
That's right. And you know, when people truly love themselves and they see who they are inside, they can't hurt other people. They could never do things like take kids away from parents or deny help. They couldn't do it because when they know and see and value their own essence, they know and see and value the essence of everyone, and they know that we are all one. And that's what needs to happen, that experience of oneness that comes when we connect with ourselves and with our higher selves. We start to know that we are all one. And when we know that, we cannot hurt each other.
Mm. Absolutely. We have time for another caller if you want to give us a call. And just to find out, you know, going through an exercise with Dr. Margaret Paul, you can also go through these exercises yourself online. There's a free, you said a 6-week course?
It's a 7-day course, a free 7-day course.
You could spread it out. Okay. And the website is innerbonding.com. And it takes you through these steps. And again, the steps are fairly simple, but it's practicing. And when you give us examples of, you know, our previous caller that said that there was someone in the family that doesn't like them, again, it's how to deal with these types of things. It's how to deal with things that don't always go our way or where we were under this illusion that our life needed to be perfect.
Well,
it's possible.
And when, you know, a lot of people have family issues where somebody in their family doesn't like them or somebody at work mm-hmm. doesn't like them. And the more you get to see your own soul, the more you see that their behavior actually has nothing to do with you. You know, I used to take everything personally, and somebody didn't like me, I wasn't good enough, and what's wrong with me, and what did I do wrong? But as I practice inner bonding, and I learn to know my own beautiful essence and see everybody else's beautiful essence, then I knew that when somebody acted in an unloving way, they were coming from their woundedness. They were not coming from their heart. And they were coming from their own self-abandonment. And that it has nothing to do with me. It doesn't mean that, you know, you don't feel the heartache of that, or the, you know, the sadness of somebody treating you badly or treating themselves or others badly. But you don't take it personally. It doesn't actually hurt your feelings when you know who you are inside.
Mm. That's true, and it is definitely a practice. It's definitely something that you learn, that you find out through doing this over and over again. So I will repeat these steps, just I'm going to paraphrase. But the first one is you. This is the six-step self-healing process of bonding with yourself. This is the way to love yourself before others. I mean, do you want to go through it? This is your work.
Sure.
You
sure.
Do it. Yeah.
Step one, you get present in your body. Mm-hmm. With your feelings, and you decide you want responsibility for them. Step two, you move into your heart. You open to learning about how you're treating yourself, about your beliefs, about what would be loving, and you invite the presence of love and compassion into your heart. And step three is you dialogue with the feelings to find out what you're doing, and you dialogue with the part of you that holds the beliefs as to why are you treating yourself this way. And then in step four, you open to learning with your higher guidance, whatever that is for you, about what's the truth about any beliefs that you've uncovered and what would be loving to yourself. And then step five, you take the loving action, whatever it is. It could be many, many, many different things. And in step six, you go back into your feelings and you evaluate. And if you indeed did take a loving action, you're going to feel a lot of relief.
Mm-hmm. This could really help with trauma as well.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. If you've been through trauma, if you've been to a place where it's your life is unrecognizable, it's a wonderful way to get back in touch with yourself. And taking responsibility for trauma doesn't mean that that was your fault. It means that
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It means that you need to learn to love yourself now. I work with some of the people who have been severely traumatized, deep, deep, deep trauma, deep child abuse, deep trauma from war. And I tell you, I've never seen anything work better than the inner bonding process.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I always encourage people, if they have deep trauma, they don't do it alone. They have to be facilitated.
Mm.
It's too much to go into deep trauma alone.
That is very important. That's very, very important. But there's also, this is a great first step to try to, you know, practice these steps and
Right. Learn
how you can change. I noticed that Alanis Morissette is on your website, and it helped her evolve in my courage to love, which is a wonderful thing to say.
Yes, Alanis has been a wonderful support for inner bonding. Let me just say one more thing about trauma. If you feel that you have a whole lot, like a deep well of painful feelings inside, and you're scared to go into them, just put in a little toe. You don't have to do it all at once. You can go little by little. But you do need somebody there, even if it's just a friend, somebody to hold you, somebody to help you manage the pain if you know that there's deep pain. So I just really want to caution people about that.
Okay. Thank you very much. That was responsible for you to say. And there, you have to start somewhere.
Right.
To not continue to beat yourself up. Or to feel the feelings of the shame and the guilt and the self-loathing, you have to stop it. At some point, you have to stop it. And I love the spiritual aspects that you bring into this, where you really can dialogue with your higher guidance. I have these
Right. Dialogues
all the time. Sometimes I think Right. I'm crazy, but I'm not. Or it doesn't
matter.
Well,
and I do it out loud.
Yeah, so, me too. Me too.
You know, hopefully nobody hears me because they're going to think I'm crazy.
I know. I do this on myself. On my bike out there, I'm talking to myself, and it always terrifies me when someone comes up behind me and they're like, who's she talking to? Just my guides. You know, I've lived long enough to know that I am guided. I've so many times have been through so many situations that I have been so blessed through. And for me to even doubt that guidance is disrespecting those incredible beings that support me. So
that's right.
I know they're always there. I finally stopped doubting that.
Well, but you know, it takes testing. When I first started doing this, I tested and tested. Sometimes I listened, sometimes I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of testing for me to trust that they were there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It takes time. I get it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing this program with us. And I know you're a friend of Marcy Shymoff. She's the incredible author of Happy for No Reason.
Right.
And she shared, that's a good sisterhood where we share with each other what's working, and then I get to share it with the world. And I really appreciate all the work that you've done over decades of work. It seems to be really working.
Well, thank you so much for this opportunity to share it, Lisa. I really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And thanks for making it free, too, for our people to dive in. So the website, again, is called Inner Bonding. And you can check it out. There's a free 7-day course on there where you can practice this 6-step program of self-healing for learning to bond with yourself and to really experience self-love over and over and over again in any situation that you're in. So awesome. Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you so much, Lisa. You take care.
You too. And I also want to remind my wonderful listeners, if you check out the website inspirationsongaia.com, that's inspirationsongaia.com, you will see I have over 200 shows on the network with incredibly inspiring people, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and I recently did an interview with Anita Morjani and Mark Nepo, Evan Alexander, just people that are also doing incredible work in the world to uplift humanity and to give us practical tools and solutions to improve the quality of our life and our relationships and our health. So check that out, inspirationsongaia.com. And thank you so much for listening and being a part of this program. Thank you, Gina Salvati, for executive producing The Aware Show, and Joyce Walker, producer of The Aware Show, and our wonderful engineers in here at KPFK. And you for listening. Thank you so much. Your energy makes this show happen. I'm Lisa Garr, and until next time, I invite you to stay aware.